Welcome to the Estate Planning Experts Podcast. Created by best-selling author and nationally recognized estate planning attorney, Shane Smith. On each episode, we bring together experts in various aspects of estate planning to help you protect your family, your assets, and your peace of mind. To get your free copy of Mr. Smith's Consumer Awareness Guide, How to Avoid the 7 Deadly Sins of Estate Planning, or if you are in Atlanta and are interested in your free Estate Planning for Life consultation, simply register at www.theestateattorneyatlanta.com.
We are here today. I have the good fortune to be interviewing Ken Stavis. Ken, thanks so much for agreeing to do this interview.
You're welcome.
Now, what I'm going to take you back in time a little bit just to give our folks some background. How did you get started?
I moved to Georgia from Connecticut about 20 years ago, and in 1996, I had an opportunity to look into owning my own business. And with a master's degree in psychology, I thought this would be a very good type of industry, since it was at first, I thought, in its infancy. So I started to explore these business opportunities and went to some elder care seminars and saw an opportunity and, listen to family members at these seminars indicate how they are going through a tough time, having a tough time looking after their loved ones. And one of the things that they indicated was they just did not have a lot of time on their hands to do other things as well. So I saw an opportunity by talking to Paul Hogan, who is the founder of Home Instead Senior Care, and decided to take a gander into becoming an entrepreneur.
And what does your day-to-day look like? I'm sure every day is different, but what's an average day look like for you?
Well, an average day initially when I got started was essentially doing a lot of marketing way back in 1996 when I got started, just because people never really heard of this type of industry and what it involved. There was a lot of education to do, not only to families but also to the people we marketed to, such as the social workers, the senior centers, church places, just a variety of places that had to do with seniors. So there's a lot of education involved. So essentially, I did a lot of marketing in the beginning. Now that I'm in a different faction because of the my day to day, now I sort of run the day to day opportunity. Activities in terms of overseeing our office staff and visiting all our clientele and making sure that things go as they're supposed to on a day-to-day basis.
And when talk a little bit about some of the like in-home services that your company provides. What are folks retaining your companies for?
Sure. What we essentially do is provide what is considered a non-medical companion and home care service to the elderly. We do things such as meal preparation, we assist in bathing, we assist in dressing, we assist in transferring, we monitor individuals or clientele's diets. We make sure that they are taking their medications. We'll also help out with any type of doctor's appointments, running errands for someone or with someone. As I mentioned earlier, taking them to and from doctor's appointments, just stimulated mental awareness, go grocery shopping for them, and also just, to provide companionship as well. in their home.
That makes a lot of sense. What do you like most about what your company does?
Well, the thing I enjoy is that a number of studies have shown that loneliness and isolation is a real concern to the elderly, and it can involve in a lot of illnesses as well as death. And you know, for Homestead Senior Care to offer, you know, encouragement for individuals to do things, to offer them to have better nutrition, to provide socialization and encouragement just on the day-to-day activities. That is something that we see quite frequently. A family member may come to us and say, you know, mom just doesn't seem to be doing very well. We're not sure what's wrong. And we'll start providing service for a minimum of one day a week for 4 hours or 3 days a week or as much as 24 hours, 7 days a week. But just to have someone come in there just a few days a week and offer encouragement and making sure that they're taking their medication and making sure that they're getting some exercise and make sure that there is some socialization. We see a lot of family members that will call us up and say, gee whiz, this is amazing how mom is responding to this. And it's just a wonderment that the loved ones see a change in their parents.
I bet you that's really wonderful for them to see, wonderful for obviously the senior, and obviously very gratifying for you.
It is very gratifying because we do, you know, we've had caregivers that have actually, you know, they've been so close to the family that they've done eulogies. As well. And you know, our goal is to provide the companionship and personal care with quality caregivers, and to have a family member, you know, write testimonials about the caregivers and call us up and say, gee whiz, I don't know what we would do without this person helping, you know, as I said, maybe just a few days a week. Because ultimately what we found is that the family member who's primarily responsible for taking care of their mother or their father or their grandmother or grandparents, you know, ultimately goes into their home and essentially spends time cleaning, vacuuming, cleaning out the refrigerator for any spoiled foods, going into the pantry, throwing any expired foods away there, also doing the mail, and they don't have any really quality time to sit down because they're spending that time doing that, and then they've got to rush off and make dinner for their family and attend to their family, their immediate family. So when we can provide that service, it also allows our client and their family member to have a more meaningful relationship. And I truly believe that, and being in business for as long as I have, I've seen that, and that just to get a phone call from a family out of nowhere just indicating that or expressing that is makes it all worthwhile.
Oh, I bet, absolutely. Let me ask you this. Are the people who hire you, are they typically the adult children, or is it the senior hiring them for themselves, or is it both?
Most of the time, we get a phone call from the family member. It's usually, you know, to be quite honest with you, it's usually the daughter, or a lot of times it could be the daughter-in-law. I am seeing, you know, a little bit more of the male population initiating the phone call, but for some reason, and it's usually the, as I mentioned, the daughter or the daughter-in-law, and they're the ones that will make the initial phone call. Very rarely will it be a client calling and say, I need help. The generation we deal with, you know, that grew up in the Depression and World War II, and I guess even the Korean War, you know, they don't believe in asking for help. They think they can do it all their own. So we end up, as I mentioned, talking to the usually the daughter or the daughter-in-law with regards to our service, because they see the decline of their family member, and they don't know what to do. So they call us, and they're not sure why they're calling or what it is. A lot of times what it is that their mother needs. But, you know, we start out with a conversation, and then we proceed from there.
What are some of the most common mistakes you see adult children making when it comes to the care of their aging parents?
Most common mistake, adult? I'm going to think about that because I don't want to, I'll give you one answer, there might be another one out there too. I would think a lot of times, it's hard, that's a hard one, I'm not quite sure how to answer that. A common mistake, I guess, would be where a loved one has a hard time, or the family member has a hard time letting go. They want to maintain a lot of control. A lot of our clients still have a good sense of, has a faculties, and the family member just doesn't know how to say, okay, well, I've provided you with this service, or we're looking at doing this service, and I don't need to be hands-on all the time anymore. That might not be a great answer, too, because I understand the family, you know, there's a trust factor involved, and they do need to trust us as a company, but they also need to trust the individual, what we call the caregiver, to go into the family's home and provide the care. We recognize that is something that they have to get used to, or they have to feel comfortable with, in terms of having a quality individual into the homes of their loved ones.
And I'm assuming that obviously all your folks are bonded and insured and background checked, and you vet them and evaluate them and make sure that there isn't anyone that works for you that you wouldn't trust in your parents' home.
That's absolutely right. I mean, I think our payroll right now for our company is probably about 140 caregivers that actually work for us, and we probably service about 130 clients. Now we may service someone one day a week to get the client to their hairdresser, and that's just as important as someone that needs around-the-clock service because they just came out of the hospital with a hip surgery. But to answer your question, yes, it is very important for us to vet our caregiver because, you know, they are our product. So that's why, you know, in my office here, we have a full-time staff, a full-time recruitment coordinator that is responsible for doing the hiring with assistance from another person. They do all the background checks. We do a criminal check. We do a Social Security check. We do a county skip check. We do a drug test on all of our individuals. We also have a random drug test. We do a TB test, and we also do a motor vehicle check as well. Now, those are our standards. Other companies may have less standards. I personally don't think anybody has more standards, but that's me saying that in our market here in Georgia. And then we also put them through quite a bit of training. They have to understand that they are working for a company and that we do pride ourselves on taking care of the individual in their homes. And it's not only them, but it's us they're representing as well. So we put them through a minimum of 8 hours of training prior to anybody actually going out and meeting with a client or before we actually will consider putting them with one of our clients.
What else? That sounds like a differentiating factor right there, and that obviously would make someone a whole lot more comfortable about using your services. There are obviously every business has competition, and there are other companies out there who do some of what you do. What other factors would you say differentiate you other than the quality of the caregivers that you hire?
Well, I would think one thing that I think differentiates us from the start is our years in business. You know, we have a very large supportive staff. I have 13 office staff members in the office to make sure that everything is running smoothly. There's two other venues to, or two other alternatives to providing or for caregivers to provide service for families have. One is a registry where they may call someone and a registry will call and a person and have them go out there and provide care for the client. Usually that is a 1099 employee, and that person, you know, then that makes the onus of paying taxes and providing insurances on the client themselves. I'm very uncomfortable with that. And the other thing is there's a huge underground market. If you have a family member that needs help, you just start having to ask people around the office or somewhere, and pretty soon you'll get a phone call from someone who does this. I was recently at a home of a client last week, and I was talking to the husband, who's the primary caregiver for his wife that has severe dementia, and he's been with us for about a year, and he says, you know, just a few weeks ago, I got two phone calls from individuals that heard that you're providing care, and they wanted for my wife, and they wanted to know if they could do it instead, and they asked that I'd pay them under the table, and he was just very uncomfortable with that. But there is that element out there, and those individuals and the family, that's scary. That's really scary, because the family then has to put their trust in someone that really, they, you know, they're not going to run a criminal background check. They're not going to do a drug test. They're not going to do a motor vehicle test or a TB test or things of that sort. So that's really concerning to me. And so I've actually, you know, just to share another story, I actually had a potential client of ours call us up. The family called and said, you know, Mom has this caregiver that she's paying under the table. The caregiver is outright stealing from her, writing checks in her checkbook, but the mom is afraid to get rid of her. Is afraid because she's afraid what would happen.
Wow.
And that's pretty, you know, that is common out there. So to have a company like ours that, you know, if there is an issue with caregiver, and, you know, there sometimes is, you know, a family member will say, you know, that for some reason mom and this caregiver just aren't getting along, it's our responsibility, you know, to move on that. And so I can go on that. So anyway, got another question? I'm sorry, Seth.
Of course I do, but that's absolute. I mean, that's scary.
If I start rambling, just
No, that's okay. That's scary, and obviously comforting to know that. It's scary to know that those folks are out there. I mean, we see horror stories on TV all the time, and it's obviously comforting to know that there's a company like yours that will, you know, that prevents all of that from happening. What are, on a more positive note, you know, what are some of the trends you are seeing in senior care services right now? Are more people using services like yours to try and stay out of a retirement community or a nursing home? What are the nursing homes themselves changing? What are some of the trends in your industry right now?
Well, what I see right now is that, with our services, I feel one of the trends is that we can actually prevent people from going into the hospital. Ultimately, if they have an infection or something of that sort, they will, and these are elderly individuals. But, the trend that I see for hospitals' concern is once a client comes out of the hospital, the goal is to prevent them from going back into the hospital. And majority of times, a person will go back into the hospital either because they're not doing the physical therapy, because they're not taking the medication, or because they're not eating. And those are things that we can come in, a service like ours can come in and monitor that. And it doesn't have to be around the clock. It could be 3 days a week, just to make sure that mother is taking her medication, and getting something to eat, as well as doing her physical therapy. Physical therapy is very important for some person that once they come out of the hospital, but the physical therapist comes in or the PT therapist comes in, once a week maybe, and they say, okay, well, here are the exercises that you need to be doing on your own. That doesn't happen as often as it should. So if you have a caregiver or someone that will come in and say, okay, Ms. Smith, it's time to do our exercises. Let's do them together, and get them on the walker and get them walking, maybe just a nice walk up to the mailbox and back, things of that sort. And once you start feeling better, your chances of going back into the hospital decrease considerably. And again, we want to provide, the relief for the family members. So as I mentioned earlier, so they can have a meaning relationship with their loved ones. So I notice, from my perspective, what I've seen is I notice people, the seniors, they do want to stay home. There is an overwhelming need for individuals to live at home as long as possible. Seems to be now, too, in this area, and I don't know if it's up in your area, but there are quite a few assisted living facilities starting to pop up all of a sudden. And we provide service in assisted living facilities as well. If we have a client that may have just recently come out of the hospital and the assisted living has minimum staff, and they will tell the family that, hey, your mother needs for the next week or so someone to be with her specifically during the night or, sometimes during the day, so she doesn't get up out of bed and fall, so she doesn't end up back in the hospital. Those are trends. I'm seeing clients are coming out of the hospital in a more of a, I think, I don't know, I'll just stop right there, if that's okay with that.
Yes, absolutely. Who is a ideal client for you?
An ideal client is, I think an ideal client for us is someone that we have family support. It's someone that allows us to go to someone that is a decision maker and someone that empathizes with, their loved one, and obviously, has compassion for their loved one as well. If a person has dementia or they're on hospice, or they've had hip surgery or any situation like that we can deal with. It's the family dynamics that can make something difficult. You always like your little Miss Daisies that, never speak a bad word or anything, and enjoy the company and things of that sort. But you know, we have what we consider difficult clients, but you know, that's part of the business.
And for that ideal client, what would the first step they take to engage with your services be? Is there a website you want them to go to? Is there a number you want them to call and set up a consultation? How does that work?
Well, a lot of times I have a marketing team. I have two marketers that go out to any industry that has to do with seniors. It'll be senior housing, it'll be the hospitals, the senior centers, the social workers, geriatric case managers, a variety of different places. Ultimately, you know, we'll get a phone call and then we'll sit and ask them, you know, some questions and talk to them. And then if they want to proceed, then we'll go out and meet with them. We want to meet with the family member as well as the person we ultimately may be helping. We don't want to take them for granted as well. So we'll meet with them at their home and set up a time. I want them to feel comfortable with us. Let them know who we are and the type of people we are and how we, you know, do business. And then we come up with a care plan, and that involves, you know, the days of service, the hours, what's important. Is it morning time or is it evening time? Or if they're late risers, we don't have to get there at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock. We can get there at 10 or 11 o'clock. If they're early risers, we need to get there at 7 o'clock. If they are concerned about breakfast and lunch, we may service someone from 10 o'clock in the morning to 2 o'clock in the afternoon, so we can make a breakfast for them and have a lunch with them, and then even fix the dinner that they can put in their microwave. So we, you know, ask a lot of questions, and then we say, okay, well, we think this is a plan that we can go with. And then we come back to the office, and we speak to our staff coordinators, and we talk about who we best feel would, a lot of our caregivers would be able to accommodate the needs of a client. And that may be because of personalities, location, times of needs of service, just a variety of things. And then we'll, at the client's request, we'll have that caregiver do a meet and greet. So the caregiver can ultimately know where they're going so they don't get lost, but so they can meet with the family too. And then we proceed from there to say, okay, well, here's what the services are going to be. And then we supervise. We have an individual also that will supervise the caregivers, constant communication with the family, constant communication with the client and our caregiver to make sure things are working. We've had caregivers and clients that have been together for 6 years. And
I bet they're almost like a part of the family at that point.
They are. They really are. And
Do you want folks who are interested in using your services to go to our website? Do you want them to call you?
They can call us. They can also do our website. We have our own little website, which is HISCGA.com. That's the first four letters of HomeInsteadSeniorCare.com. Corporate office in Omaha, they have a website that they put together for us as well, but, you know, we've designed our own here, but that would be homeinstead.com, and then you would type in your zip code, and then that would bring you to us as well.
Homeinstead.com, and what's a local phone number for them to reach you at?
770-425-4240.
Okay, this has been the estate planning experts interviewing Ken Stavis. Ken, thank you so much for agreeing to be interviewed.
You're welcome. Thank you for your time.